articles where multiple people have keep calling him his personality unique, which is an interesting word to use. And the fear is that that unique personality is not going to fit in with the formula that they have. Was like, I'm going to do anything. I'll do anything that you tell me to do. And the one comment I saw by an NFL executive was saying that I've talked with Shador and he has his own thoughts. So he's going to have opinions and he's going to go back and forfeit you and he's going to ask questions. And the NFL is like that's a beautiful thing because you have someone who's processing what's happening and talking back with you. But that doesn't fit a lot of formulas that teams have where they want to do what I tell you and run with it, sort of. And there's a fear that you're going to spend a lot of time. And honestly, that's coded to me as like, we don't want someone who is going to question our authority.
Right.
We want someone who's going to do whatever I say. And this kid's not going to come in thinking that he knows better than I do.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly what it is to me. Mm-hmm. Am I shocked by that? No, not at all. Because I'm very curious to be like, are those other white quarterbacks just, you know, shucking and jiving too? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because they get praised for different things like leadership and thinking on, you know, thinking on the turn, you know, turn of a dime, like just thinking quick, thinking fast, like, you know, making decisions. Like, so, you know, why is Shador unable to ask those same questions about where am I going to be able to thrive without being like, no, and, you know?
And then some of the other comments I saw, again, not, these are all, I did a little bit just to see what the arguments are looking like. The other arguments I saw was that if Shador gets drafted, most likely it's going to be in a second string quarterback position. And they were saying that the relationship or the chemistry between the starter and essentially the backup is really important, and that the starter can't feel threatened by that backup. Mm-hmm. And some people were saying that Shador's personality might cause that chemistry to be off. And I'm like, well, then why are you the starter if you're tripping off of anything?
Right.
If you are a starting quarterback in the NFL, you've
been starting for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And you're honestly, a competition should really be that. I don't want my starting quarterback to think that he's just always the default.
Yeah.
I want him to feel like he has to earn that position. Like so many other people, like everyone else out there has to earn their position.
Hell yeah.
You know, nothing is guaranteed. And honestly, I think that is what pushes people to get better. And so again, I would still think that bringing a quarterback with this much confidence, even as a second stringer, would help my starting quarterback. And so again, it just seems like they are upset that he has this chip on his shoulder.
Right. Right.
And that this seems very coordinated to knock him down a peg. And I hope he comes in and just is like, psh, whether he went fifth or 199th, he gonna do what he's gonna do.
Yeah. And I wonder if these types of dynamics we'll see more of it as we continue to see more black families generate generational wealth through football or through whatever, right? Like, will we have more of this happening?
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, I hope that they figure their shit out, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if another instance of a Shador Sanders happens in the future.
Yeah.
You know, from another, you know, ex-football player son, you know? And so it's just, it's disheartening and disgusting, you know, because that's crazy to go from 5 to 144.
I think maybe the one bit of feedback that I saw that could be, to me, credible is that recruiters were saying that they were having a hard time getting a full picture of because when recruiters are scouting for, especially for the NFL, they're not just looking at your skill. They also want to know your personality.
Sure.
Because it's a job.
Yeah.
It's a job. There's a work culture. It's a job. And so what some of the recruiters were saying that was because of Deion Sanders' involvement at Colorado, they felt like they weren't getting that it would be very difficult to get the full perspective from that current coaching staff because of his father's involvement.
But I mean, you've got the whole Manning family and shit. To me, when I hear people say stuff like, I don't have a great grasp on the personality of a black person, it just reminds me of our own corporate bullshit. There's so many times where I have either gotten this feedback or my other black friends have gotten feedback in the corporate world where it's like, you know, we just don't really know you. Like, well, what the fuck do you want from me? Like, you know?
So what they did seek is the former coordinator, offensive coordinator for Colorado, mm-hmm. and he only had great things to say.
Right.
So that was the only credible thing. And then when they found the person, this person was like, actually, this person's work ethic is really well. His ability to adapt. Also, there was a question that Shador was asked in an interview about how does he think he's going to perform in the NFL and mm-hmm. role. And he gave a great response where he was right. like, hey, I played at Colorado. We went through 9 different coordinators. I was able to adjust. And my track record has shown us we've only ever gotten better with each of those coordinators. Right. We never had a setback. I am NFL ready because I'm used to those adjustments and I went through those. I was like, that's great. That's a great interview response.
Yeah.
There was nothing gloaty about that. It was an intelligent and it assessed the situation. It provided context. Like, it was a great response.
Yeah. What concerns me too is, you know, if this is the quote unquote, the persona that he has is combative or not a yes man, and he is now, you know, the backup quarterback to a white dude, like, there might be this intrinsic racist experience to be like, I need to check this black boy. You know?
I think that exists in the NFL.
No, I know, but
I think he was going to have to go through that regardless.
I'm saying it might be amplified because of that now. Yeah. You know? Like, it's so, that's another concern. And mm-hmm. then it's like, well, you know, his family's already rich anyway. So, you know, so, yeah, I mean, it's concerning. It sucks. But I also do hope. I'm like, bro, like, I 100% hope he just comes and fucking kicks ass.
People are comparing the situation to buck breaking.
Mm, yeah.
And for those who don't know what buck breaking is, it's just to give a sensory warning, like, this is pretty intense language I'm about to use. So buck breaking was a practice done in slavery times where they would it comes from the like bulls and breaking the spirit of a bull, but in slavery times there was a practice of breaking the spirit of a black male slave.
Yeah.
And so to make him more docile, to make him more, honestly, to get him ready for breeding, usually.
Yeah.
As well as just regular field work. And it could look like a lot of, I won't go into the graphic details of the ways in which they did it during slavery, but people are equating what's happening to Shador right now as modern day buck breaking, like trying to humble him, make him docile, make him just kind of like go along with whatever people are saying. And so that's been something that's been thrown out on black Twitter. It's like we're watching really some buck breaking. And I'm appreciative of how transparent this process has been so we all can see it, you know, and call it what it is. And I'm appreciative of like, folks on ESPN, other former black players who are now speaking at ESPN, calling it a shame, and saying that it's ridiculous because like it is. There's no reason to this is a sport. This is a job. There's no reason to humble somebody.
Yeah,
a quarterback especially. That's crazy. You want your quarterback to be the most confident person on the field, no matter what string they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And that brings back to my point where you weren't here, but I was talking about just like basically the parallels between, you know, football in America and slavery, because you've got so many owners who are white and so many coaches who are white and their coaching team who are white. And they're just like, do what the fuck we say. And I don't care how broken your body gets. You know, you're going to make us money, and that's what matters.
You know what has made me more interested in the new Jordan Peele movie that's going to be coming out?
I haven't gotten much details on it. I know it's happening, but what's the premise?
So the premise is that it follows a young quarterback who is trying to make it in the NFL. He is paired with a mentor, and apparently some very satanic things going on. But like think about Illuminati, sort of that kind of jazz. Like, it follows him going through the process of trying to make it big, and the visuals are playing on some sort of like demonic, satanic, in terms of having to give up your soul in order to become a star quarterback.
Right.
I keep thinking about that in this whole
yeah. I mean, it's real. It's real shit. Yeah, it's real. It's definitely real shit.
Sometimes the devil is just an everyday person.
I'm absolutely.
It's like, a system, does an not, institution.
Yeah. It does not have to be
a grotesque monster.
Yeah. A grotesque monster. It's just an entity.
Yo, it's Ted in the head office, bro. Ted in the head office is the demon that you know.
for real. Ugh. Isn't it crazy that so many of those Christians who like just do not understand idolatry? But I guess, anyways, we don't have time to get into this.
Christianity within the U.S. context is like
it's a struggle.
It's a struggle. It's a struggle. Something we should probably break down eventually.
Absolutely, at some point. Because
like
sure.
I know folks probably outside the U.S. see it and are like, what's happening?
Right.
But to be in it, and to be raised, because I'm not a practicing Christian. I identify as a cultural Christian, meaning that I was raised with that religion, and a lot of my morals and values come from that, and I feel good about that. Mm-hmm. But that's not the religion that I regularly practice. So I have a lot of thoughts, especially as a queer person within a family that's very, very religious, and coming up against that, I have so many thoughts.
Right. Yeah. But okay. So, all right, let's get into our next song. And I just got to say, you know what, Shador? Get your bag. So,
get your bag, baby.
We're going to play I'm a Hustler by Cassidy.
I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. I got the product, narcotics for the customers, homie. Fiends open, they be smoking like a muffler, homie. Niggas phony, so I only got a couple of homies. If you a hustler, I could fuck with your homie. You spend a couple bucks, I stay in touch with your homie. I get money, I get 20K. I got 20 strips, all doing 20 a day. Ay, I get cake from buds of haze, I'm making dubs. They hating cuz I'm on the grind like I'm making love. When cops got the block hot like Jamaican clubs, cop wait for a drought and then make it flood. Try to take my cake, you gon' take a slug. But you can take my information if you taking drugs. Cuz I could sell raid to a bug. I'm a hustler, I could sell salt to a slug. Cuz
I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. Nigga action, nigga action. Help me, nigga action, nigga action. Help me, I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. Nigga action, nigga action. Help me, nigga action. Nigga, action. Help me, I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler, homie. I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler.
To the game, same ride, just a new groove. I do more than just do tunes, cause my bills coming too soon. My son gon' be too soon. Royalty checks come like once in a blue moon. But I'm getting my dough from doing shows. I made more dough on the grind than going gold. That's why I stay fly, no fly, you know, hoes. Floss is so cool in the Austin, no shoes. Just a rubber band on my wrist, no jewels. I ain't gotta prove I'm rich, I'm no fool. I know the rules and I ain't got time for it. But the nigga will shine when it's time for it. And they will hate you, deal with the real cake. And they on the corner from morning till real late. I deal waiting if you bastards doubt me. I'm a hustler, ask about.
I'm a hustler, yeah. Homie. I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, yeah. Homie. Nigga, action. Help me, nigga, action. accent. Nigga, nigga, accent. Without me, I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler, homie. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler, homie. Nigga, accent. Nigga, nigga, accent. Without me, nigga, accent. Nigga, nigga, accent. Without me, I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler, homie. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler.
You get paid, you got saved. Don't be spending the change. In fifth grade, I was hustling my Genesis games. I was dumb young, selling chewing gum to my classmates. On the cash chase, moving at a fast pace. Never been a dummy, never did what the dummies do. So I had a meal to burn before I turned 22. More money, more problems, it's true. Cause the more money I make, the more problems for you. Yeah, I use dude voice, props to the boy Sean. He made it a hotline, I made it a hot song. So stop drawing, man, you gotta respect it. I'm the best Swiss, got it perfected. Don't mess with C-A-S-S-I-D-Y. Cause I became the best when B-I-G died. The kid do it big like P-U-N. Cause I'm nice like P-A-C with the P-E-N.
I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. Nigga accent, nigga, nigga accent. Help me, nigga accent, nigga, nigga accent. Help me, I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. Nigga accent, nigga, nigga accent. Help me, nigga accent, nigga, nigga accent. Help me, I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie. I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, homie.
For all my niggas that's going through the struggle, that's on the grind. All my niggas that ever had the hustle to get at a dollar, this for y'all, man. Personality change, man. The Kid Cassidy, huh? This for the hood, man. Hood, man. Hood, man.
Backyard, y'all. Oh, yeah.
Watch the back of them rims on that car, nigga.
Oh, yeah, it's glass material right here.
Can I see that chain from afar, nigga, huh?
Right.
What your game be like? What your chain be like?
What your game be like? All the way, baby.
Louise, ma, it don't get more ghetto than
Grammy minded. You been blinded. Looking for a beat like mine, you can't find it. You hit a clip, Sonori, gotta rewind it. Nowadays, you get on a run and get finding. You know I got guns. Why you acting like my daughters? And you know I got sons. Nah, we won't speak, fam. Aiming at your collarbone, hit you in your cheek, fam.
From ghetto, to backyard, to yard, I sell it whip on whip, it's off the hard. Stand on that table, nigga, spit that crisp, nigga, throw that chip, make him recognize this. Raw, player, look a here, I'm great in the kitchen like morning cookware. Uncle Jemima, with my braids wrapped, and 3-minute recipes for cooking flapjack. Coke price through the roof, SL blue the coupe, my niece asking how my rim bigger than a hula hoop. I make the block holler, take it back to childhood. How to scale teeter totter as I evolve. Weight grew heavy, it was kinda like my buddy just fell off the seesaw. Bricks in a muffler, Mac 11 toucher, Virginia's hustler. I'm here, motherfucker.
What's the size of them rims on that car, nigga? Can they see that chain from afar, nigga? What your game be like?
Money.
What your chain be like?
Money.
What your name?
I'm big timing in a bubble, I like so fly.
So fly.
I feel cut crack that's beside me. The big rims on ties and we shining. Ain't easy, holla. No rims can't see me. Holla. Bands flip easy. Holla. That truck be me for sheezy.
From hood to hood. Nigga, yard to yard, hey, I'm your hero, cause I got the heroine of that raw. Check the rims of my car, no, don't check them, no, cause they stuffed with blow. Basie, baby, still in the kitchen. Jets with a little curve on the shit I'm pitching. You need a hit like Mark McGuire, come holler. I watch the bass at home, I'm umpire.
Honey, you know what I keep in the line is. Niggas better stay in line with. You see a nigga like me shining. Grinding. Know what I keep in a line is. Niggas better stay in line with. See a nigga like me shining.
Grinding.
took 13 South, crossed the Bay Bridge with it. Ring the triangle, then the bell, come and get it. The time in the kitchen, I dare not mention. Way my cell phone echo, I swear they listening. 89 was my beginning, y'all. Young snot, no staff yams in a tennis ball. Cops swore we was playing catch. No, we was at a stretch. No shorts, beg to you out of breath. I ducked the feds, they seeing my weight grow. Streets love malice for his comeback ratio. If they got pop, we made sure they made bail. Cause if not, we be scared they gon' tell. Patty cake, that's me, bake the pies. Pyrex, mix that, scrape the sides. Grinding, Glock 9 in the lining. Make God strike a nigga dead if he lying.
What's the size of the rims on that car, nigga, huh? Can they see that chain from afar, nigga, huh? What's your game be like? What's your chains be like? So what's your name be like? Ma, it don't get more ghetto than this. What's the size of the rims on that car, nigga, huh? Can they see that chain from afar, nigga, huh? What's your game be like? What's your chains be like? So what's your name be like? Ma, it don't get more ghetto than this.
Ever since I can remember, I've been popping my collar, popping my collar, popping my collar. Ever since I can remember, I've been working these holes, and they better put my money in my hand. Ever since I can remember, I've been popping my collar, popping my collar, popping my collar. Ever since I can remember, I've been working these holes, and they better put my money in my hand.
I know you sicker than sicker when you see the rims thicker, the paint dripper, ice in my veins glitter. I straight flipper the cheese like a pancaker, falling from trees like the leaves in my handbreaker. Project cutter, attracting damn pieces. I'm dirty sucker, French braid gold teeth. I'm out here making cents, cause I'm out here making dollars. I keep a bad broad dough and
she
a top collar.
Put my money in
yeah.
my hand.
Now when it comes to getting bread, I got the keys to the bakery. A lot of dudes sweating, playing man, they some fakery. Let me catch a girl about some work in my sight. And believe I'm gonna be at you in the daylight with a flashlight. I'm trying to get paid, I have a money is made. A lot of dudes like to pay ladies to get laid. For me, I ain't no pimp, I just love to borrow. Paper from a fat bitch, a ugly bitch, a model.
Out with big trees, standing on the porch, drinking liquor, drunk, smoking weed, trying to get a paycheck for work. For I came, get this why I stay in a girl ear to keep that pussy.
Ever since I can remember, I've been popping my collar, popping, popping my collar, popping, popping my collar. Ever since I can remember, I've been working these holes, and they better put my money in my hand.
In my hand.
Ever since I can remember, I've been popping my collar, popping, popping my collar, popping, popping my. Ever since I can remember, I've been working these holes, and they better put my money in my hand.
In my hand,
yeah.
In my hand,
yeah.
In my hand.
Yeah.
Welcome back, welcome back, we are back. You're here listening to Black on Black on Black. It is D Fantastic, and this is
Queen Skeet.
And that was Poppin' My Collar by 3-6 Mafia and Project Pat.
Poppin' My Collar.
R.I.P. Project Pat.
And then I've been working these hoes. Welcome back, everyone. If you're not familiar, this is Black on Black on Black. Again, this is D. Fantastic. And I am Queen. We are getting into our last discussion segment of the day. Continuing on this themes of orbiting around the football community, we are now going to discuss Shannon Sharpe's sexual assault allegations. So for those who are not familiar, popular NFL legend and podcast host Shannon Sharpe has been hit with serious accusations. As per reports, a woman has filed a lawsuit in the U.S. state of Nevada saying that Sharpe used his fame to manipulate, control, subjugate, and violate women. She claimed that during their relationship, which lasted almost 2 years, Sharpe was aggressive towards her and even raped her. According to the suit obtained by USA Today Sports, the plaintiff listed underneath the alias of Jane Doe, although Shannon Sharpe did have her docs, so her identity is
out.
Now.
Yeah, it's out.
So
now,
that
yes.
So even just so,
and that's why we know other things about her. Yeah. But we'll get into that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jane Doe alleged that Sharpe sexually assaulted her twice, once in October 2024, and again in January 2025. They met at a Los Angeles gym in 2023 when she was 19.
19.
And so he would have been 52.
52, you old bitch.
Boy, yeah. She also claimed that Sharpe secretly recorded some of their sexual encounters without her consent.
Yes.
Considering that Shannon Sharpe has accidentally leaked his sexual exploits before, that does
on
not surprise.
Instagram?
Boy,
yeah.
Wild.
Absolutely.
Wild.
I'm like, yes, of course he did.
Also, doing a little bit of digging, Shannon Sharpe has had previous allegations pointed at him during his time at ESPN,
yes,
where he allegedly choked another one. Like, yeah. Shannon Sharpe has had a series of sexual issues. Harassment, sexual assault things happening, right? So the woman is asking for over $50 million in damages, although the woman has said that Sharpe mistreated more than just her. She hasn't shared details about any other woman in the lawsuit. Shannon Sharpe was as a note, during this time, Shannon Sharpe was reportedly nearing a new podcast deal that could have exceeded $100 million.
Man, you know what the fuck we would do with this podcast with $100 million?
Boy!
Yo!
Boy!
We would rule the world.
Intergenerational wealth.
Well,
black wealth.
Well, for me.
Oh, my God. So that deal would have covered his entire Shay Shay Media Network, including Club Shay Shay, which is a popular show that he has on YouTube.
Yeah.
Nightcap and other podcasts. So this has presumably went away given recent allegations, as it should have.
Right.
He has also elected to step away from his duties with ESPN in light of the investigation to, quote unquote, take care of family and reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And has said he will return for NFL preseason.
Right. And so Shannon's response is, quote unquote, this is a shakedown. I can't do his voice. I'm going to be open, transparent, and defend myself because this isn't right. Sharpe said in an Instagram video on Tuesday. So one of the attorneys representing Jane Doe is Tony Busby, who Sharpe is basically being like, they're targeting me. Quote, this is all being targeted by Tony Busby. I believe he's going to release a 30-second clip of a sex tape that tries to make me look guilty and plays into every stereotype you can possibly imagine. Sharpe also says that Busby has a quote-unquote history of targeting black men, pointing to Busby's involvement in civil lawsuit filed against Jay-Z. Remember that shit? That shit's still in the ether, y'all, in December. Mm-hmm. Sharpe added that Busby is trying to take him down.
Yeah, so it's...
So, yeah, let's talk about that before we talk about the other things. So, Shannon. So because Jane Doe got doxxed, we also found out that this woman is white.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we found out... So Shannon actually released this stuff, these statements and these text messages, and there was like race play involved in this. And so it's fucking crazy. And so it's funny. He has had Chad Ochocinco, Cat Williams, and Monique tell him he did not need to be fucking around with those young women.
Yeah, which means they all must have, he must have a reputation of messing around with very young women.
Because I remember he said some shit, and it circulated, it was a while ago, where he was like, and I quote, y'all keep saying to date your age, date your age. I'm gonna date my wage. It's like, Nick, what the fuck does that mean?
Date his what?
He said he's gonna date his wage, what he can afford.
A 19-year-old? Okay. So, right. What is he saying he can buy people? What is he talking about?
Exactly. I was like, that doesn't mean anything. But
to me, dating your wage, what are your in your income bracket would mean people your age.
Correct. But I think what he's meaning is, you know, the money that can afford me these young girls, I have it. So I'm going to date whoever I want, whenever I want, yeah. And I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's just wild. I'm like, yeah, nigga, I'm like, I have no tears for you on this. You deserve it.
It's so incredibly sad to me that men of wealth in particular, they have so many options and they always choose the least, the one that they shouldn't.
Right.
They always choose the one that they should know better than to choose. But they choose that one because the power dynamics for them is incredibly in their favor.
Absolutely. And the naivety of youth. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, one of these things in the statements that he said is being like, oh, yeah, she was into all this. I'm like, a 19-year-old may actually not understand what the fuck she's into. She may be doing it because A, you're fucking rich.
Yeah.
B, you're this older man. Yeah. You're an older big ass man.
Yeah, bro.
So like, just because she might be smiling and giggling and maybe do something doesn't mean that she tried to tell you no, but you just didn't pick up on it.
Yeah.
If, you know, and women in their older age struggle with that.
Yep.
But more than likely, the older the woman gets, the better she's able to establish herself having boundaries. Yep. As a 19-year-old, how long has she actually been having sex?
Yeah.
Like, that's not long enough to understand the dynamics and to be able to be like, no, get your fucking hands off
and
me.
The sad part is that older women have had their boundaries crossed so many times. That's the reason why they're able to say no, which is also a sad paradigm within itself.
Yeah.
But it's why older men consistently go for younger women. Because mature women have boundaries.
Yes.
And they're not going to put up with your immature bullshit.
Yeah. And it's not just sex. It's other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, is he trying to, you know, buy a prostitute in Miami? I'm like, I know what the fuck you doing, nigga.
Bro.
I see your location.
Bro.
I'm not doing that. Mm-mm. Fuck that. Mm-mm. And I'm going to call you out.
With my body.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm going to take photos and I'm going to do that to show you're a fucking bitch. So to have the forethought as a younger girl to even get some sort of documentation for this is astounding. I would imagine more often than not, there's just plenty of young girls who face abuse and then that's just what it is for them.
I'm hoping with more stuff coming out on the internet, like letting women know how they can protect themselves and document these things, that more women at younger ages are knowing kind of what are the resources or what do they need to gather.
What to look out
for. In case this thing goes awry.
Yeah.
You know, or if you even have an inkling that something is not right, like, continue to document things,
right.
You know, so that way you can protect yourself ultimately if something really goes. Because I have no sympathy for Shannon Sharpe.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
This is
a string of things, and honestly, I was very put off to hear him talk about targeting black men and basically throw this in there as a Tony Busby trying to take down the black man.
Right. Mm-mm. I was like, okay, bro,
you took down yourself, bro. you took down no. You took down yourself.
Yeah.
This is on you.
Yeah, this isn't another 50-something-year-old woman.
Stop trying to get the black community to rally behind you as making this like a Black Lives Matter. This is not a Black Lives
Matter
moment.
And even if we always tell them, watch out. Watch out with the white women. Because even if this isn't, let's say this isn't real, which I doubt it. Let's say this isn't real. There are so many times parents of black boys will have these conversations about what can happen to you if you're alone with a white woman. Mm-hmm. Like, lynching happened back in the day. Modern lynching still happens now. Mm-hmm. Like, you are alone in a situation that's her word versus yours. And you don't know what could possibly happen from that.
And I want to make sure for our, because I know all black people who are hearing this understand what we're talking about. I know for non-black people, what you might be interpreting potentially is that we're saying that white women or women are untrustworthy. No. What we are saying is that whiteness in a room with blackness is always a threat. Yes. There is a threat, and there has been so many lynchings in which black people, black men
especially,
have been taught this, and it has been reinforced.
Yes.
So this is not something that we are saying as a mythical thing. This has been a proven thing throughout time.
Right.
Where white women in particular have weaponized their whiteness and fragility in moments to hurt a black man specifically.
Right.
So that is something that is taught to a lot of young black men, is like, hey, when it comes to the police and things criminal, if it gets into a situation of her word versus yours, they're gonna look at her and they're gonna see their daughter.
Yes.
They're gonna look at you and they're gonna see a criminal in every other stereotype they've ever heard.
Yes.
They've ever heard. Cue Central Park Five.
Yes.
Cue Emmett Till.
Yes.
Cue Rodney King. Like that. Yes. That there is reinforced. There's reinforced situations.
Yeah, and although people think of Emmett Till as being so long ago, Central Park Five is not that long ago.
But Emmett Till ain't that long ago.
I know, but I'm saying, yeah, like, these things still happen, yes, today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, yes, I'm not, that's D-Fantastic, I'm not saying don't be in interracial relationships. Yeah. I'm in interracial marriage. Like, that's, yeah, not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there is a historical context, mm-hmm, of white women hurting black men to either get out of things that they got, mm-hmm, themselves into, period, or just out of pure anger, racism, and spite.
Yeah.
And so, yes, like, that is something that I heard growing up, mm-hmm, and seeing other black parents navigate those conversations, mm-hmm, happening with their sons dating is like, mm-hmm, just be careful, because, yes, if you get caught up, like, them niggas, the fucking, the police, the attorneys, the judges, they're all white.
And it is why it is so wild to me how often I see black men who do end up in relationships with non-black women, not just with white women, where that woman ends up saying some very racist things,
right?
Or being just flat out racist.
Right.
That doesn't happen as much the other way around.
No, that's crazy. Like,
it doesn't happen that much. Don't get me wrong, I've seen it, but not as much, yeah, as I've seen with black men who tend to date not. And I, again, not so. I usually, my current partner is also not black, and my brother also is currently not dating someone. But there is, like, things that we have. There's very intentional conversations we have had.
Yes.
So I can make sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, me and my husband had many conversations prior to getting married about, like, you are entering blackness by being, mm-hmm, in a relationship with me. Mm-hmm. There is no other way around. Mm-hmm. Like, I've obviously extremely accepted his culture. I've been integrated into myself. I'm even learning the language, mm-hmm, but like, there is a reality, like, our kids are black.
Yeah.
Yes, they're half, but how the world perceives them and how they will be perceived, mm-hmm, is black. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it doesn't go the other way. Look at fucking the Mahomes family. The
boy. Oh my God. You know, I won't end up like that, bro.
I will always bring up the fact that Patrick Mahomes and his wife are doing like this silly little couples game thing.
And we'll go down in infamy in the black this community.
This is infamous. They're doing a couples game thing. And so it's like, ask stuff about each other that you're supposed to know. So the trivia was Brittany or whatever her name is.
Ugh.
what is Patrick Mahomes' favorite food? And she said, I'm not joking, this is how she said it, fried chicken.
In that exact tone, in that exact pitch.
And he literally just sighed and said, Mexican food. And I was like, you got yourself into this, Patty. You fucking did, bro.
Just a sign, like, Britney.
Like, what the fuck? But he stand by that.
Fried chicken.
Like, that's,
bro.
It would take everything in my body not to steal off on my husband.
Black people black people around the nation.
The world just gasp.
Yes, gasp. She said that out loud.
Because, you know what's crazy? Is that, like, we also, black people have many conversations about how we are perceived in the world. And, like, you know, there's times where it's like, yeah, maybe fried chicken might have been his favorite food, but maybe he might not have wanted her to say that.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like, in front of people, yeah, as to reinforce stereotypes. That's a, yeah, whole conversation. But, yeah, no, she just leaned into it. It was
hard.
Anyway,
bro.
So, hard. So, yeah, that's, yeah. But anyway, so
there's, so all of this to circle back to like Shannon Sharpe's situation, and that there's multiple layers here. One, she's 19. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You are old enough to be her grandfather at that point.
Yeah. Most definitely.
You're old enough to be, you be her grandfather. You are also, the race play was wild.
Wild.
The race, look, I don't yuck anybody's sort of like kink, but
that, I do.
I yuck race that. Race play is one of those where that. I'm like, if I do not feel no,
and also no. Shit. I don't shit play. No,
no.
I yuck that. Ugh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, bodily fluids. I'm not about that.
No, so you know, fuck that, and fuck you know, race play.
And
that's
then
crazy.
Another an interesting sort of conversation that is I've seen surfacing within the Black community amongst men, mainly, is them trying to say that there is a double standard here between Shannon Sharpe and Tracee Ellis Ross. So let me break this down.
Yeah.
So during an appearance on the Wednesday episode of the IMO podcast, which is hosted by Michelle Obama and her brother Craig Robinson, they look so much like each other.
Yeah, they do.
Man, them jeans are strong.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tracee Ellis Ross, who is Diana Ross's daughter, reflected on her dating preferences and shared why she gravitates toward younger partners. And in quotes, "Why does this keep coming up? Other than they're hot and gorgeous, there's that," Ross told the podcast host. "But a lot of men my age are steeped in toxic masculinity and have been raised in a culture where there is a particular way that a relationship looks." Tracee Ellis Ross is also in her 50s. She continues on by saying, "There is a difference. There is an openness that occurs with a younger man around whether it's gender fluidity or not even having an issue with homosexuality, something as basic as that. I have long been past the age where I feel like it's my job to teach somebody or grow them up. That I'm not interested in."
Right.
So people have taken this, and a lot of men have taken this and been like, Well, why is it okay for Tracee Ellis Ross to say that she likes to date younger, but it's a problem that Shannon Sharpe is dating a 19-year-old?
Your man voice is hilarious. That's what a man sounds like.
Collectively, Black women have let out the hugest sigh in this. Yes. And be like, nowhere in Tracee Ellis Ross statement did she say that she is dating 19-year-olds.
Correct.
Younger, she's in her 50s. Younger could mean 40s.
Younger could mean 30s,
bro.
Like,
nowhere did she say, like, I like mine's freshly legal, but not drinking age.
Yeah, That's insane.
And in that, she gave context to, like, she doesn't like the toxic masculinity that is exuded.
Yes.
Which Shannon Sharpe is a perfect example of that. Exactly. Toxic masculinity.
Exactly.
And actually, Shannon Sharpe is the case study for why Tracee Ellis Ross is avoiding dating people in her own age.
Literally.
Because look at that. That's a mess.
If I was single and in my 50s and I was meeting a guy and I was, you know, we're talking about exes or whatever, and all of his exes were 19, 20, I'd be like, hard pass.
Or if that man brought up race play.
I mean,
I'm out. Deuces. Deuces.
Yeah.
You know? Because I don't care how mature that 19-year-old is. If you are a 50-year-old man dating a 19-year-old woman, you are immature.
Yes.
You are immature. There's absolutely no, there's nothing that a 19-year-old should be able to offer you.
Right.
Not a ounce of wisdom. She hasn't had life experiences yet.
Right.
That are on par with your life experiences.
And I think there, that one of the differences being, like, almost not mentorship, but just like, for instance, so my niece is that age. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm in my 30s. I love hanging out with her.
Yeah.
But it's a level of, like, we're learning, we're laughing, we're, like, kind of joking. I get to be the aunt sometimes. Yeah. I also get to just be the best friend. But we're not growing in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not, you know what I mean? So,
no.
And I'm 30 and she's 19.
No.
Like, not.
And if you are
50.
Growing in a relationship, it's like a mentorship relationship. It's like a sisterly relationship. It's nowhere near.
Low key, my niece is basically my sister.
Yeah.
My younger sister.
Exactly.
That's how it feels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not on a peer to peer.
No.
Sort of level.
No, because,
that is,
because
no.
There are some things that we're just going to clash at, which is natural.
Yeah.
Like, she should not be acting like a 34-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, enjoy your youth, learn what you have to learn from, but I wouldn't be expecting anything of that. So it's bizarre. Oh, one last thing I do want to say before we jump into our music segment, before we close, is With the whole Tracee Ellis Ross thing and Shannon Sharpe, we cannot diminish the impact of beauty standards on that statement. Mm-hmm. Like, it has been hammered into our brains for forever that men are basically attractive till they die. And but for women, we quote unquote age out. I don't know when that age
expires.
We expire.
Yeah.
So having a younger man be interested in you as an older woman is a way different type of experience than a man chasing after youth.
Yeah.
You know, now again, this is the interest level. This isn't a, I'm not talking about a 65-year-old woman traveling to Jamaica to like hook up with 20-year-old Jamaican dude. That's also gross and creepy. Yeah, we're talking about like
slumming it.
We're talking about her again dating like a 30-year-old man, and he's like, oh, I still find beauty in the women who are 50. You know, that's again a different experience than a 60-year-old woman who
who's going on sexual tourism. That is
because that's people do that,
and that is exploitative.
You're just as bad as Shannon.
We are not saying that that is the thing. And and listening to Tracee Ellis Ross, I'm sure none of these men have gone and actually watched this podcast and hear the things I just broke down and what she's saying there. And she is talking about companionship and actually partnership.
And even and even if they did, they wouldn't be able to understand that.
Yeah,
they're not tuned into that. They're like, what do you mean? Don't you just want to bang the youngest, hottest, whatever?
No, bro.
And it's also like, teenagers aren't hot. They aren't.
No.
They're still weird looking.
No.
They're weird looking.
Those are children. They're children. Yeah,
they're not. Their bodies aren't, you know, they're not fully matured yet.
Yeah. Like, in Tracee Ellis, she's talking about actually just having conversations where you can talk to a man about homosexuality.
And he doesn't flinch and freak out.
And get enraged or think that you're accusing. Like, I've had that experience before. Oh, my God. It is.
And you're just like, okay.
I was like, what's happening right now, bro? Like, what is this?
It just escalates.
And, yeah, I can absolutely relate that there is a certain age group right now of men who struggle to have those conversations.
I think we got lucky. I think
we're in a bubble
of millennials.
Yeah,
like millennials somehow managed to. I mean, obviously not all millennial men.
Not
because,
all.
You know, Trump wouldn't be elected.
Not all.
But like, you know, like we kind of, because underneath us are a lot of conservative young dudes. So I don't know what happened with our generation, but you know, we did okay.
Yeah, I think we did okay. I also think we definitely live in a bubble here in the Bay Area. But in general, I think millennials
did a decent job.
Yeah, do a decent
and some
job.
Gen X too.
A lot. I think a lot of Gen Xers. Yeah. I think there is I think there's a lot of Gen Xers. Gen Z seems pretty. I think a lot of Gen Zers are good. But I think I read an article where there's a divide between older Gen Zers and younger Gen Zers.
Hmm.
And that the younger Gen Zers are tending to be the more conservative ones.
That doesn't surprise me.
Which is interesting. I mean, it's probably going along with that political pendulum. There's the political pendulum.
The pendulum?
Pendulum. Yeah. Boy!
Oh, my God.
Both of you do not lay. There is the political pendulum, whatever, potato, potato.
No.
There is the political pendulum that's, you know what? Do you want to finish that sentiment?
Go ahead. Go ahead and say whatever
there
you
is the
say.
Political pendulum that tends to, I don't know why I say bloom. I just do. Now you all got me tongue-tied. But there is that
a political pendulum.
There's a swing.
Yes.
There's a swing that tends to happen where when politics tend to move to one side, they eventually within a generation or two move back.
Right.
And so I think that might be what is happening there instead of, and like, is that swing is swinging back.
Right.
And the fact that the country's just not doing well.
Yeah.
And when you have sort of the polarizing dynamics that we're seeing today, it's not unusual to see the rise of more conservative fascist ideals.
Yeah.
Because people need someone to blame for why they are being born into situations that are dire.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play two songs and then close out.
Pendulum.
And so for Shannon, all I got to say is Save Your Tears by The Weeknd.
I saw you dancing in a crowded room. You look so happy when I'm not with you. But then you saw me, caught you by surprise. A single tear.
goes, they know who I be. Now take a picture, now let me be, let me do me, let me be a fiend. I'm shooting up, every day I'm trying to ball with my little China dog. Got my back like spinal cord, put that pistol on me. Yeah, that 45, nigga feeling do or die. Fuck trying to be unified. She over there, wanna be over here, so I pull her head. Fuck her from the red end till she there. How are you? Shit, I go by Q. Hey ho, now what it do? Got a king size and it's built for two. I've been meaning to be leaning up in that pussy like promethazine, and she took the scene in my willy beaming. On any given Sunday, that pussy a runway. She did it the fun way, smash it like Tecate. She did me hombre, no ni fin nombre. We screaming ole and ole, we score no goalie. She's just a group A, and group A gave top like toupee. But rush that couche, her pussy look warm like long lay. Her head be Bombay like gin and OJ. Took a shot and I won like game day. Yes, I'm the sensei. Friend, got a ticket one way. Oh, you don't really see it that I'm gone. Pass the baton, black, real rap. Spit to the break of the dawn, nigga, we all that. We all that. See that the shit we be on, nigga, this black hippie, nothing else. Be so fake, I'm about to melt. All my shit be prison felt. TDE, we got the belt. Hold it down if nothing else. Swear to God, on my life. Where it's at, shit on sight. Down the ride, fuck a bite. If I'm locked, then fly a kite. Keep a strap on like a dike. TDE, we got the belt. Hold it down if nothing else. Nothing got the baddest hoes, got the finest weed. Everywhere I go, got the finest weed. Hey. The finest hey. Weed, hey. The finest hey. Weed. Hey. Everywhere I go.
All right, this is Black on Black on Black. We're closing out. It's D Fantastic and
Queens.
That was Druggy with Hoes with Schoolboy Q and Ab Soul. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, we're just going to close out. I'll give another shout out with stuff that's happening in the community.
Oh, yeah. So we have two events coming up. There's an event this Thursday at El Rio for Mission Delirium. Come out. And I believe, I can't remember. I know there's a cover at the door. It's somewhere between $5 to $10. Mm-hmm. Also, a great thing about supporting that show is that the whole door actually goes to the band, which is
cool. Yeah. That never happens.
Well, because El Rio owns the building, mm-hmm. they can do better deals with their musicians.
Oh shit!
And so I like going to shows at El Rio because I know the musicians sure. they are getting yes. good cuts, which is
hell
cool.
Yeah. Hell yeah!
Yeah. And so then on Saturday we have Bandas Sin Nombre at Sailing Goat in Richmond, not the Richmond in Richmond, the city, mm-hmm. Point Richmond to be exact.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. We'll be close to that. We should absolutely. Oh. Well, never mind.
I'm not busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kate, happy birthday. Check it out, y'all.
But yeah, so thank you for listening to Black on Black on Black. We're here every Monday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Up next, You've got Hell's Kitchen by John Hell, whatever he's in the mood for, whether it's punk, funk, or junk, you're going to get an earful of Hell with John Hell. And today is part two of his Iggy Pop special. So
yeah, tune in. Around.
Yeah, check it out. We'll be back next Monday, and I will play y'all out.
Bye. Bitch, you on your own, but here come Kobe. He hollering this shit, yelling back. Bitch, pick up a bitch. He mercy on brick and threw it at my whip. I hopped out so quick, then what? I raised my blick and boom, I don't miss. Boom. I let off two shots, I hit him in this shit. Now, buddy, quick, what you finna do? Cause this gon' make the news, gotta make your move. Told that bitch get in, cause she looking convinced. I broke the rules, cause this bitch a witness. Plus, I just popped through, but she ain't crying. Plus, this hoe is smiling, and this bitch look cute. So, bitch, light out. I'm checking my mirrors, made it to what? Her house, told her hop down. She say that she hungry, I not back no dumb. I know you mad, cause I smoked your man. Left him on the third, she started laughing. She say, fuck that nigga. He from 63rd. Just got some talk from the stripper.